Welcome to another edition of the Prepaid Podcast, the only podcast on the internet dedicated to the prepaid wireless sector. I'm your host, editor of PrepaidReviews.com, Joe Polakowski, and today we're going to kind of break the mold of old prepaid podcasts. What we've done before is we've taken, you know, three or four issues and discussed them on the show. A lot of those times we have interviewed guests from various wireless companies relating to the issues. We've had Daniel Neal, CEO of Kijit. We've had Yasin Yasin, Executive Vice President of Page Plus. We've had representatives from Boost Mobile and Cricket come on the show, and you know, Virgin Mobile, and talk about these issues from an expert's point of view. What we're going to talk about today, and what's going to take up the entirety of the show, is an issue I'm not really comfortable discussing with representatives within the companies because they have their own interests and might not be as willing to talk freely about this topic as our listeners might want to hear. Yes, we're going to talk about prepaid and the economy. Now, you can understand, after the subject matter, why I wouldn't want to involve people who are within the industry, who are constrained by public relations, and I'm not saying that disdainfully. I'm saying that it's a fact of the matter, you know, to have a real open discussion of how the economy is going to affect the prepaid sector. I think we need to come in from with an outsider's perspective. Someone, and I've been reading up a lot on this lately, so I'd like to consider my opinion informed. If you have problems with it, obviously, I'm open for email, editor@prepaidreviews.com. Feel free to drop a line there, comment on this post, do what you may. We're just trying to get the most honest and accurate assessment of the prepaid wireless industry as it stands currently. So, where do we begin? Well, let's start earlier in the year when the first signals of our troubled economy started to come out. We heard back then that, you know, with the subprime mortgage melting down at the end of 2007, with a lot of banking issues creeping up in 2008, things were looking like they were going to get bad. It looked like the numbers were doctored to show that we weren't in a recession for most of 2008, although retrospective numbers have shown that, yes, we've pretty much been in a recession since the start of 2008. So what does this mean for the wireless industry? Well, when you're in a recession, people are going to cut costs. Now, this might be because they've lost their jobs and simply don't have the capital that they had while they were employed, or it could mean, you know, it could be people who are buying into the hype and saying, hey, we don't know what's coming in the future, we want to hedge our bets, and, you know, in case something does happen, we're going to reduce our costs, our overall cost of living, you know, so that in case something comes up, we'll be prepared. Now, let's set aside the fact that this is a good thing in general, that this company is mired in an unprecedented level of debt, which has helped fuel this recession, and that an additional level of savings, especially when you actually have a level of income, is only going to benefit the economy in the long term, though perhaps not the short. But again, we're going to set that issue aside now and talk about the reality of the matter, which is that people are looking to cut costs. Now, where can you cut costs? Obviously, in your luxuries. I know a lot of people have ditched cable TV over the past year. I'm one of them, though not for as much money-strapped reasons as I just an unnecessary, yeah, it's the savings thing. I'm trying to save money because it's an unnecessary luxury. A lot of people have cut out cable TV because they can't afford it anymore, which is understandable in this kind of economic climate. So you cut down on the luxuries, you cut down on eating out, you cut down on the gadgets and the items and the non-consumables you buy. You can even cut down on the consumables in some areas. I know I'm just drawing from personal experiences here and from people I know, I've cut down on drinking lately. You know, I have 10, 20 bucks in my pocket. I'm far less inclined now to go buy a bottle of wine with that than I was, say, 6, 8 months ago. So then comes in the problem when we're talking about cell phones. Are they a necessity or are they a luxury? Well, I mean, 10 years ago, they're obviously a luxury. 1998, hardly anyone had a cell phone. The battery life wasn't to the level where you could have it on all the time, or if it was, they were, you know, very expensive, only available to the very upper class, which isn't a bad thing, but we'll get to that later. So, fast forward 5 years, and we're in 2004, 2005. Everyone's got a cell phone. Everyone has a cell phone, it seems like. Everyone's got their fancy service. And even in the years, the 5 years coming after 2004, we've grown even more dependent on mobile technologies. We've come up with, we've started to buy these gadgety phones, the iPhone being the exemplary one. People want the hip new phone, but where do we draw the line where it's a luxury and where it's a necessity? Now, I'd argue that for most Americans, some level of mobile phone service is a necessity at this point. That didn't have to be the way it grew when the industry really started to boom in the late 90s, early 2000s, but it's the way it did grow. It's reality. People need cell phones. It's become our, for most people, it's become our main form of communication. When people call, ask for my number, they get my cell number. You know why? Because I don't have a house line. And that's also a growing demographic. So as we wean off the landline and we get onto the cellular, we become more dependent on it. And that isn't even to mention, the people who use it for business. I have a BlackBerry because I write a BlackBerry website. But a lot of people who work in other sectors need that email access. That's their business, that's their job, and they're much better workers for it. So that adds another level to the necessity that cell phones have become in our everyday lives. But the level to which many consumers take cell phones exceeds the bounds of necessity. The iPhone, for most people, is not a necessity. Even for business people, there are cheaper options out there. I'm not saying, you have to go with the cheaper option. I'm not trying to levy any moral judgments on anyone. I'm just saying that when you get to gadgety phones, you're really looking at excess. And if you're looking to cut costs, well, you can look other places, but eventually you're going to come to your wireless bill, you're going to come to your wireless device. Now, the question is, how can you cut that? Simple. Well, simple in theory, I guess, but not in practice for everyone. The key is to watch your costs over the long term. You might pay only $100 for your phone, 100, 150, 200. It's a one-time cost to you, or at least that's the way it's perceived. Remember, when you're buying one of these high-end phones, you're buying it at a subsidized price. And that means, for those not in the know, is that the carrier buys the device off the manufacturer for a certain amount. It is set at a certain retail price. But because that retail price is often so high, the phone operators, the phone carriers, have to offer a significant discount on these, or else they wouldn't sell. So we're at the point now where people are expecting these low prices, and many of them don't know why they're getting a low price. Well, it's because the company is saying, all right, we can't sell you a $500 phone every 2 years. It's just not conceivable. But we can sell you a $200 phone every 2 years. So how are we going to sell a phone that we bought for $450, say, for $200? Well, that's where the subsidy comes in. What happens is, because you've paid so much less than the retail price for the phone, you have to make a concession, and the phone company has decided that getting you locked into a 2-year contract is that solution. So they're basically saying, we're going to take a loss on this phone. We are going to lose money on this transaction because over the course of your 2 years with us, you are going to end up repaying the value of that phone. So the implication here is that the wireless service is going to cost more than it's worth, because the phone you bought, the cost is less than what it's worth. So you end up paying for more than what you're getting every month over 2 years in order to repay the company for the phone you bought at less than cost. You see where this is going, hopefully, that you're paying too much for wireless service, and that's all there is to it. But the problem is that this business model is so universal, it's so widespread, that no one questions it. It seems like it's the norm. These companies are profiting, Verizon and AT&T and T-Mobile and Sprint are profiting hugely, hugely, enormously over wireless voice costs and especially over SMS costs. Yet, it's hard to fault them because of what we know about the price subsidy. So, what this means for the average consumer is you can save money on your cell phone bill if you don't sign a 2-year contract and you don't take the subsidy on the phone. Unfortunately, that leaves people in a situation that still has a stigma attached to it. Yes, of course, this is the prepaid podcast. I'm talking about prepaid wireless, where it seems like you're paying more per minute, but you're really not. Now, let's take, for example, my Verizon wireless plan. It's $39.99 a month, 450 minutes. So it seems like I'm paying a little bit less than 10 cents per minute. Problem is, beyond the fact that I'm locked into this for 2 years at a time, beyond the fact that I can't drop it if service is poor unless I pay $175, the problem is that I don't use all those minutes. A Verizon gives you, when you sign up for a plan, you get, with your contract, you get unlimited nights and weekends and unlimited Verizon and Verizon calls, which now cover over 80 million people or 80 million lines. So when it comes to my bundle of anytime minutes, I'm not even coming close to using all those. Now, people might say, well, if you go with prepaid wireless, you're not going to have those free nights and weekends, you're not going to have those free mobile-to-mobile calls, yada, yada, yada. No, you're not. But it also gives you a greater level of flexibility where you're not making calls you don't need to make, hence cutting back. So say I don't want Verizon anymore. My contract's up and I can't justify committing to overpaying for 2 years, overpaying in both service and overpaying in terms of how many minutes I use versus how many minutes I pay for. So I've got my device and it's not outdated and I want to move on. You know, why would I stay with Verizon at that point? Even on a non-contract basis, why would I continue paying them $39.99 a month for a service that I don't even fully use? And not only that, which I'm being overcharged for because I'm not taking advantage of the subsidy that they would have given me on a phone. Because if I'm not taking advantage of the subsidy and I'm continuing even on a month-to-month basis, that $40, it's going to pay for a subsidy that I don't have. You know, I don't have the new phone. I didn't take out the subsidy. So I'm paying way too much for service. So I decide that I'm fine with my phone. I'm going to go to, I was going to say Net10, but since I'm talking about Verizon, I'm going to go to Page Plus. I'm going to go to Page Plus Wireless, and I'm going to use my existing Verizon phone, and I'm going to activate it on their network, and I'm only going to pay their rates. Well, I think that's the smart move for a lot of people who are looking to cut costs, because it accomplishes a number of things. Number one, you're only paying for the minutes you use, and that's really important to me. Two, if I'm really keen on getting nights and weekends, they do offer a package. It might seem a little expensive, but everyone's different. If I decide that I can save more money by reserving all my call time for after 9 o'clock or after 7 o'clock, whenever they begin their nights, or if I can reserve all my calling for the weekends, obviously it's going to work out for me. If I still have to make plenty of daytime calls, and I can't reserve my calls for nighttime, well, then maybe I'm not going to spend my money on that. But the point is, they give me options in order for me to spend the least amount of money for the minutes that I need. And I think that's a smart overall consumer decision. Now, of course, we come into the problem that I'm not going to get a subsidized phone. If that phone breaks, if the phone I have with Verizon that I switched to Page Plus breaks, well, then I've got to buy a new one at full manufacturer price. But remember, if you don't have insurance and your phone breaks when you're with Verizon and you're stuck in that 2-year contract, you still got to pay for a phone at full retail price anyway. So there's not really a huge difference there. You're still stuck paying. You won't get the subsidy mid-contract with Verizon. So that's one way to think about it, in that you want the prepaid advantage in an economic situation like this is only paying for the minutes you use when you're going to use them. The other advantage, and what I think is the biggest advantage, is in itself the lack of a commitment. Now, if you think, I have a buddy, I'll relate an anecdote. I have a buddy who I've been talking to. We have a friend's wedding coming up this weekend, and he's not going because he needs to save money, he says. He says, you know, Scott's wedding is important, but so is my survival. And he then related that he doesn't think he's going to have his job by the end of the year. Now, if you weren't sure you were going to have a job at the end of the year, would you sign a 2-year contract? Because by the end of the year, you might not be able to pay for it. So when you're going the prepaid, you have the inherent advantage of not signing a contract. That means if push comes to shove, either you can really cut down on minutes. You know, you can spend only, you know, say $60 over 3 months. If you can find a $60 refill card, you can use only those minutes over, you know, over a 3-month period, assuming it has a 90-day expiration period. Now, instead of spending $40 per month plus taxes, you can just pay $60 over 3 months, and just make sure you budget yourself well enough that you won't run out of minutes, which, of course, sets in good financial practices. If you can budget your prepaid wireless minutes, you can surely balance, you know, budget your checkbook. But that's an ancillary point. It's not something I'm trying to make here. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, if my buddy's contract runs out in February, well, he'd be a fool to re-up with Verizon. Because why would you get yourself into that situation when you aren't sure if you're going to have a job? Because guess what? You still got to pay that bill even if you're not employed. And, you know, for some, it comes to almost $50 a month with all the taxes and fees. You're not going to be able to pay $50 a month. It's just not going to be economical if you don't have a job. Or if your means of living is cut, you know, if you're in a family and your spouse loses their job, you know, that's the point where you say, all right, if we can reasonably assume or reasonably figure that, you know, there's a good chance we won't have a job at the end of the year, go with prepaid. Because at least that way, you can budget your minutes and you can spend the bare minimum amount for this now essential service. And, you know, and there are services like Skype too where you can get by. I've had the same $10 on Skype for almost a year now. So you can supplement your calling needs with different free and cheap services. And if push comes to shove and things get really bad, and I wish this on no one, and I know people are going through it, you can completely cut the service with no harm to you except your remaining balance, which you'll obviously use up. So, you know, that's the real advantage in an economic situation like this, where there's so much uncertainty, because most of us haven't lived through something like this before. You know, this is already said to be forecasting to be much worse than the 70s recession. It's been compared to the Great Depression. I've heard the word depression used. I've heard people say, don't call it great, but yeah, we can call it a depression. With so much uncertainty facing this, why would you lock yourself into a contract which is, by definition, certain? So I hope I've made my point on this. And just because we've got some extra time left over, I wanted to jump back into the issue of paying per minute, how much more it costs for prepaid. I always say the industry norm is 10 cents per minute. I say this because you can get Net10, which has coverage nationwide, for 10 cents a minute. So for something, you know, for a carrier that has nationwide coverage offering that kind of rate, you would hope that you can find that, you know, you can find service either at that level or better. If you're above that level, you better be offering something extra that really adds value to my experience, or else I'm going to go with Net10 and pay my 10 cents a minute. I know some companies charge like 14, 15 cents a minute, but have unlimited nights and weekends. You know, it depends on how you call and how you use your phone if that works out. But the myth that postpaid costs less than prepaid is just false. It's just false. And, you know, there's been a number of surveys that have shown that, and the surveys have also shown that a lot of people still believe this myth. Trust me, if you're using fewer minutes than you have on your plan, you're probably paying more than 10 cents per minute. I'll go back to my own example with my 450 minutes and paying, you know, $40 a month plus taxes, which you don't really have with prepaid. So you know what? Let's be fair. $50 a month is what I'm paying just for voice. I have a data plan, but we're not going to talk about that. So I have 450 minutes that are costing me $50 a month grand total. Guess what? Right off the bat, more than 10 cents a minute. Yeah, I mean, simple math. So right off the bat, those 450 minutes per month with Net 10 would cost me $45 because there's no fees involved with it. So I'm paying, and plus, if I don't use all those 450 minutes with Net 10, I can use them next month. And I know they have a 60-day refill period, which may screw some people up, but it's one of the trade-offs of prepaid. And if you're going to complain about prepaid, it should be about the minute expiration and not about the price per minute. So already we're at above 10 cents per minute for Verizon. Well, here's another little wrench in the plan. I don't use all 400, 450 minutes. In fact, I don't come close to using all 450 minutes. I used 210 minutes last month. 210 out of 450. Well, you know what that comes to? Nearly 24 cents a minute. Now, unless you're with AT&T and you're going by their 25 cent per minute rate, you're always going to get better rates than that with prepaid. Of course, this doesn't include all the Verizon minutes I use and all the nights and weekends minutes I use, but, you know, that's negligible. I can adjust that. And I can cut down the phone to the level where I should be using, you know, I should be using a prepaid service. But because I have the data plan, we're not going into that. The smart move for me is to move to prepaid. But because I know the smart move for me is to be going to prepaid and I don't go to prepaid, well, I understand why it's not more of a widespread trend than it currently is. People just aren't comfortable doing it yet. But, you know, I have to wonder, and this is the point of the podcast, is that, you know, with the economy shaping up like it is, if we don't make major strides and things continue to turn downwards, people might have to become comfortable going with prepaid. And we'll be here all along the way to guide everyone through the process, through their prepaid, get their prepaid sea legs under them. So we'll end this here, and I'm sure we'll pick up the discussion on the economy next month. We'll have new developments between now and then. We'll have a new president by then. How cool is that? So for the Prepaid Podcast and PrepaidReviews.com, I'm Joe Polakowski, and we'll see you next month.